Good morning and welcome to worship this morning, a special first service for us all as Carnwath, Kirsteers and Forth Church of Scotland. It's great to see so many of you here today to celebrate with us Holy Communion, with Harrison leading the way. Just a few intimations before we get started. Most of the intimations are on your ordinary service, and I hope you've all now got one, that's fine. A presbytery citation that has to be read this week and next week. First of all, the congregation of Carnwath, Kirsteers and Forth is hereby cited to attend the ordinary meeting of presbytery at 10 a.m. in Motherwell, Kirk at the Cross, Church of Scotland, 4 Pollock Street, Motherwell. This is in relation to proposed changes to the presbytery mission plan for clusters S7, Dilserf, Crisford and Kirkville Bank, Overton, cluster S8, South Wishaw and Wishaw Newkirk, cluster S9, Carnwath, Kirsteers, Forth St Paul's, Lanark St Nicholas and S10, Lark Hall New and cluster CA1, Lanark Greyfriars and Hamilton St John's. Should anybody require any other guidance, can be got from presbytery. So if you've got any issues, if you want to ask either myself, Betty or Mary, and we can find out any quick queries you've got about that. So just on to our intimations. As you know, the cafe is open afterwards, worship this morning, if anyone wishes to join us at the cafe. Bible study on Monday evenings, 7 o'clock to 8:30. If you aren't already a member or part of that group and you would like to join, if you speak to Betty, Mary or myself, and we'll give you the link for that. Or Harrison, he has it as well. He runs it. The Sunday the 14th of June, there's a praise night at Kirsteers at 7 o'clock for anybody that would like to go along to that. And we've got a Kirk session on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. in the hall here in Forth. I think most of the others you'll be able to read at your leisure. We have a prayer box at the back for anyone wishing prayer for themselves or others, so please feel free to use it. The flower box will be available at the end of the service. We take a monthly collection just for our flower fund. And what was the other thing? The offering will be uplifted during the last hymn for the members of Forth St Paul's. We are still used to uplifting the offering during the service, so it will be uplifted during the last hymn. And the final thing, and another thing, we're going to take a photo. We thought we will need to have a record of this special day. So Fiona has kindly offered to take a photograph of us as a new church. Anybody know what in their picture taken if you want to sit to the side? But I'm sure you'll all look smashing. Harrison, do you want to come forward so you're in the picture? Audrey? Thank you.
Forth Church, and thank God for this. We've been in long discussion, so many meetings, so many letters and so many reports, and everything has been presented to presbytery, and finally we are here, so thank God for that. We all come from different traditions, different stories, different legacies, different history, and once I was in a church where minister has announced that we required some funding for the roof because there was a hole in the roof and we need some money. And if you decided to donate something, please do so. the privilege of whoever donate the most money will get to choose 3 hymns for the next service, you know. And everybody was very happy, and there was a lot of donations arrived, and there was all an envelope, and the minister opened the envelope, and he opened it, and there was a lot of money. There was around £5,000 in one of the envelopes. So when he opened it, he said, well, this is the most money we have received. Who is this person? And there's a wee, sweet, saintly, elderly lady stood up, and she said, it's me. And she said, oh, it's you, Miss Grace. Please come forward. And she came. And she said, now tell me, you can choose 3 hymns. And she stood there, and she said, I choose him, I choose him, I choose him. Different tradition, isn't it? On the union service, I went to this man, Neil, and I said, it was my spot day. No, I wear a suit. You shouldn't be dressed up that smart. He was that him for that day. Well, thank you very much. Again, we all come from different traditions, different foundations sometimes, different buildings, different way of doing things in our life. You okay? Microphone not switched on. Okay. Okay, it's green. Is it mute?
It's mute. That's it.
Can you hear me now? Jim, thank you. Oh, I don't need to repeat my joke, do I? No. Thank God. So my theme today is something similar. As we come from different traditions, different backgrounds, different who we are, individual, as a family, as a location, as a village, as a town, no matter where you come from, right now you are here under one foundation. And that's the reason I chose through 2 passages from the epistles, which Anne will read, and we'll talk more about them. Without further ado, could you please take a moment of silence and prepare yourself to worship our Lord in truth and in spirit. Come, come, people of God. We who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ has broken down the dividing wall and made us one family, one household, built on Him as the foundation, the one who is our cornerstone. Let us come as one body, growing together into a holy temple in the Lord. Come, come, let us worship the God who is building us into His dwelling place and worship Him in truth and in spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear all, may I please request you to all stand if you are able and sing our first hymn, hymn number 465, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. 465. Please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let's join our hearts in the prayer of adoration, confession, and thanksgiving to our God. Holy and gracious God, Lord, we adore you as the one who has brought us near by the blood of Jesus Christ, the one which was shed for us, for our redemption on the cross 2,000 years ago. For the Father who gathers strangers and makes them the member of the household of God. Lord, you are our peace. You are our salvation. You are our head and our Father. In Christ, you have broken down the dividing wall of hostility, Lord. And by your Spirit, you are building us together into a dwelling place for your glory. So, Lord, we praise you for your mercy. The mercy that found us when we were far off. For your love that holds this church united under your cross. And for the grace that makes us one people in your Son. Merciful Lord, we confess now that we do not always live as one body. We are sorry. Lord, we cling to our old loyalties, our old habits, old preferences. We rebuild walls you have already torn down. We want to sit down on the same table you have taken off from our sight. Forgive us, Father. The quiet comparisons and the ways we behave according to our human inclinations. Lord, would you please clean our heart today, renew our mind this morning, and teach us to walk in the unity Christ has already won for us. And by your Spirit, help us to lay down pride, to seek reconciliations, and to love one another as fellow citizens of your kingdom. Gracious Father, we thank you that you always listen to us. We thank you for every gift you have poured out into this church, for the stories that shaped us, for the people who carried us, for the cross that saved us, and for the hope that lead us forward into your future as per your will. Thank you, Lord, that in Christ we are no longer strangers, but a living temple growing together in your hands. Thank you for the promise that you are with us, Lord, building, guiding, and holding us in your peace. Lord, would you please make us grateful, joyful, and ready to serve as one people under one Lord, unto one Father and one Holy Spirit. All this we pray through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name, the one who is our cornerstone, our foundation. And we also join our hearts in the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray together and say it as a family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May I please request Anne to come forward and do the reading. Ephesians, the epistle of Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 15.
One in Christ. So then, remember that at one time, you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both into one, and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us, abolishing the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And then from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 15, on divisions in the Corinthian church. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as fleshly, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still fleshly. For as long as there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not fleshly and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not all too human? As Apollos, what is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted Apollos, watered, and God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labour. For we are God's co-workers working together. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each builder choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Amen. May God add his blessing to these readings of his word.
Thank you, Anne, for the beautiful reading. Now, can we please again once stand and sing our next hymn, hymn number 204, I Am the Church, You Are the Church. And if you know the actions, you can do the actions as well. Yes, kids, can you do hymn actions? Well done. You can face towards them and do that. Yeah? Come forward. Number 204, I Am the Church, You Are the Church. Please stand if you're able. Thank you. Please be seated. That's a wonderful job. Can you please all clap for our Sunday school girls? Yes. Well done. Well done, boys and girls. Well done. Right. So, the Bible portion we have just read. See, I like Paul. I like him very much. He was like a very aggressive man at one point. And then he becomes so humble that he was ready to die. When he started his ministry, he called himself apostle. But then he called himself least of the apostle. And then he come to a point when he said, I am the slave to the master. See, a man who was almost 3 PhD of his time. The Pharisee, the top-notch righteous man in the laws of Moses. There was no one can hold his hand and ask him that what you're doing is wrong. He was the best of the best, the cream of the cream. And he was so aggressive, so angry. He has a zeal, which David said, that zeal of your house burning me, Lord. And that's what he was. When Stephen was stoned to death, he was standing there looking after people's cloak and their cloth and say, yes, go and stone him to death. The zeal was so strong in him. But when he has one encounter of God on the road of Damascus and everything was changed for him, he becomes so humble that he was ready to die for God, and he did. He could escape the death. He could escape where he was going, but he didn't. He deliberately went to there so he can preach the gospel even to the castles and into the courtrooms. You know why? Because he was happy to forget his history, his story, his legacy, himself. But he has now one thing to count, and that was the foundation the church was laid. Now, so many ministers or so many evangelical preachers, you will see the celebrity preachers, they will call themselves apostles. They cannot be. There is no apostleship left because there is one foundation, and that foundation is built on the blood of apostleship. And that's the reason we don't have any more apostles. So we have only one foundation, and Paul is very, very straight when he's speaking to people. And why I like him, because he sometimes don't mix his words. He don't water down the gospel. He tell them as it is. He said, there was a time when I was offering you milk. You know why? Because you're not able to eat the solid food. But how long I'm going to feed you this milk? Grow up. And that's the now requirement of the church. I see we have Christians who are 30, 40, 50 years of Christians. But still, when I tell them and ask them something in the Bible, we miss. We don't have that deepness in the knowledge of the Word of God. Though our foundation should be Christ. No matter where we come from, what legacy we hold, what finances, what books, what reports we do, how good we were doing our church. If the foundation is not laid on Christ, then we are nothing. Okay? And that's what God is asking us to do. Lay the foundation on the right place. Now, kids, may I speak to you? Is that okay? Can you please all stand, if you don't mind, and come up here? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Okay? I'm really sorry. I will not shout. That's what my wife says sometimes. You're very loud. Right. Okay. Can you see? Do you know what this is?
Jenga.
Have you played Jenga?
Yes.
Do you know how to play it?
Yep.
Right.
Take off cubes and then stack them back up.
You are very smart, sir. Give me a high five. You're very strong. You know Jenga, how you play Jenga? Right? Okay. Now, think this Jenga, these blocks, are the church. Is the church. Okay? A church building. Not this building, but any building. A cathedral. A big, huge building. Spend millions of pounds on that. Right? Okay? Now, in that church, what do you like? Now, I'll ask you one by one. What do you like, my dear, in the church? Yes, the one thing you like, your favorite. Look around. People? You love people? That's the first person I've heard that said, I love people. You really love people? Right. Okay, here we go. I am taking that. This is people, and I'm taking it off, and I'm keeping it here. Does it make any difference to Jenga?
No.
No? What about you, my dear? Come forward. Come on. What do you like? You like Sunday school? Well done. Here we go. That's your Sunday school. Here. What do you like? You like people as well? Here we go. Does it make any difference to this place? To this building? No? What about you, my dear?
It's getting shorter.
It's getting shorter. You're very smart, sir. What do you like, sir? Ma'am?
I like Audrey playing the organ.
Oh, Audrey playing organ. Audrey, you have fans here. Here we go. Does it make any difference? No, it's not making a difference to Audrey either. What do you like, my dear?
The Sunday school.
You like Sunday school? Well done. Here we go. That Sunday school is here. Is it making any difference to this building? Not much, isn't it? What about you, sir? What do you like?
I like coming to the church because I like to worship God, Jesus, and I like to pray and I like to sing songs.
Oh, wow. He loves God. He loves singing. He loves praying. Well done. Well done. Here we go, sir. Taking this off. What do you love, sir? What do you like?
The nursery.
Oh, you like nursery? Oh, lovely. There we go. What do you like, sir?
I like all of the church.
You like all of the church? That's beautiful. Okay, here we go. Right? All of these have taken off. Can you please all clap for them? They're doing a marvelous job. Very, very good. Right? Stay. You don't go. Now, we have taken all these building blocks. You like Sunday school, you like things like that, all good. And I really love all this you have said, all the Sunday school, nursery, the prayers, the God, everything, right? Well, not God, but everything else, you know, buildings, like materials, you know, speakers and this and that and pews and everything I like. But there's one thing very important in this church. You know what it is? Yes.
God and Jesus.
Absolutely. Here we go. Can you please clap again? Yes. Who? Me? I'm not important. I can come and go, my dear. Don't worry. Right? Angels as well. Here we go. Yes, absolutely. So there's very good. There is one thing very, very important in here, and that is the foundation. Right? If any building crack, the walls crack, the furniture crack, there is no problem. The roof can crack as well, no problem. But if there is a crack in the foundation, the council will come and say, you need to demolish the building. Because if there is a crack, no building can hold. See the base of this building. What is the base?
The Bible.
The Word of God. Exactly. If we take that off, what will happen?
It will fold and I'll grab
the whole building collapse. Right? Don't worry about it. We'll take care of them later. So what is the most important part in the church?
The foundation.
Exactly. The foundation is, and what is the foundation? Is the Word of God, the Bible.
God decides a building is really bad. God has the opportunity to destroy that building because it could get a crack in the world.
That's the new minister for you, okay? You don't need me anymore. Give him a microphone and he will do it. Sir, well done. God bless you. Well done. Please have a seat. Len, well done. You're doing a good job with them, okay? Here we go. So now you know what I did just there. No matter what you like, you might like the speakers, you like the banner, you like the lighting, you like Audrey, the organ, sorry, not Audrey. All of this can be gone, and you will still have the church. But if you decided to take Christ out of your church, the foundation, you don't have the church. Okay, now what happened? Oh, where is my slides? Okay, that's fine. Is it there? Oh, yes. Oh, thank you. Laura, well done. 1940. You know what happened in 1940?
Yes.
Blitz. Absolutely, Blitz. Blitz, 1940, German bomb Coventry. The cathedral was bombed, and that's what happened. Only the outer wall were standing, and all the other walls were gone. Okay? All the other walls were gone, absolutely gone. What happened? The province, neighbor, came next morning. And he saw the walls, he saw roof was down, everything was demolished. Okay? Everything was gone, almost. What he did, he did cry, maybe. But what he did, the roof which has fallen, the beams, he took the nails out of those beams and made a cross out of it. And you know, he didn't ask for the revenge. He didn't call an army. He didn't say, we're going to one day going to be even with you. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. You know what? He picked up a chalk and he wrote one thing. He said, Father, forgive. Father, forgive. And that's it. Forgive who? Not forgive them. Not forgive us. Not forgive the army. Not forgive the people who bombed. He just said, Father, forgive. Because that's what we required right now. Father, forgive. And then later on, they made a community out of it. A lot of people, people have joined in this called the community of cross of nails. You know, and that's what he did. And you know what happened, the strange thing? The strange thing happened is German got to know that about the Blitz, about what happened there. And they made a cross out of those beams, those nails from the beams, okay? And they started to write them letters. They started to write them letters asking for forgiveness. And this is how they reconciled. Different traditions, different people. The one, there was hostility, there was enmity between them. One thing has brought them back together. Cross. The cross of Christ Jesus. And that could happen for you and for me. Only one thing can unite us, my dear friends, and that is Christ Jesus. The foundation which is laid. If our foundation is laid on the Christ, then we'll flourish, we'll grow, we'll give glory to God. God bless you all. Can we all please stand once again and sing our next hymn? What is our next hymn, please? Let us build a house. Hymn number 198. Let us build a house.
Thank you.
Now I know we sang this hymn on the night of Union Worship as well. And when I was singing that hymn, I decided that I would speak something on based off that hymn. Now, Laura, will I be able to move this? No, this is, will I be able to move them? The slides? No. So if you can go on to the slide, yes, that's the one. Okay, so you can do it. When I read that, you can change it, okay? Right, so as I said, Paul is very good. I love him as an apostle. I love him as a person because sometimes he don't water down the gospel. He speak as the gospel comes, and as God speak to him, he pass it on to the people. Now, today is not an ordinary Sunday, is it? Three congregations have walked through these doors, and some of you carried the decades of memory from one building and some from another. Different traditions, different way of doing things, different pews, different chairs, different history, different stories. Now you're sitting beside people you may have nodded across a car park for years, on the street, in the market, wherever you go, but never truly worship beside. Some of you are lucky. I was speaking to a few of them, and you said, yes, I used to worship with Kanwat people, Castells people, or Fort people. Yes, that's good, but maybe not under one leadership. And if I am honest, some of you are not entirely sure if this is now a good idea to reunite these three churches. I've heard that as well. And I understand that. Change is never easy, isn't it? Especially for us. We Scottish people don't want change. We don't like change. Change is hard, isn't it? Especially when a church is a part of your history. You exist, that church exists there for hundreds of years sometime. Letting go of the familiar feel like a loss to so many of us. And that is legitimate, my friends. That is legitimate. But here is what I need you to see. Please bear with me. What we are doing here is not decided in a committee meeting. It wasn't decided in a session. It wasn't decided as in the presbytery. It wasn't decided at the General Assembly either. It wasn't. It was accomplished 2,000 years ago on a Roman cross outside Jerusalem. Our job today is not to create something new. You think that what you're trying to do is something new. There is change. There is not. Because what we are doing is, what our job is to recognize what Christ has already did on the cross for you, for me, and for the church, that he laid down the foundation with his blood, with his body. And that is where the church is built, because he said, the church I am going to build, the gates of the hell cannot prevail it, will not be able to demolish it, and the body of Christ will always exist. And that's what church is, my dear friends. The gospel just not save individuals only. It's build a house. It's called you to be in the family of God. And if you're not a part of that family, you cannot be individually saved and be away. A lot of people think they can be Christian while sitting at their church or sitting there on their couch and not coming to church. I believe it cannot be possible. You need to be part of the church to be the believer. Because remember what you are, Paul is saying. Paul says in Ephesians 2, with a command that costs something to obey. Remember, he said. He said, remember this command. He is writing to Gentile believers, people who before Christ were complete outsiders like all of us. Not outsider to one local church, no. Outsider to every covenant God had ever made with humanity. Paul is speaking to those people. And he said in Ephesians 2:12, you can see it on the screen, he said, remember that you were at that time without Christ Jesus, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and stranger to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in world. Please note the four phrases in this verse: separated, alienated, stranger, and no hope. That's what who we were. Paul is not being poetic here. He is being surgical, actually. He wants that to sting to them. He said, just enough that when grace arrives, you become the part of the family. It hits them with full force that they were strangers, they were alien, they have no hope at one point, but now in Christ Jesus, you do have hope. Because here is what happens when a church forget what it was saved from, my dear friends. And if we are all something similar, and I'm not talking about people who are sitting here, Kanwad Kastes forth only, but church as a whole, it starts treating the church as its own possession. We try to take the ownership of the church. This is my church. No, it's not your church. It is Christ's church. We are part of this family. Its tradition become standard if you started to own the church. The way of doing things become the one only acceptable way to that church. And people from the other congregation quietly sense that they need to earn their place before they truly belong. That's what the new believers who were converted from Jews to Christianity, they were asking Gentiles to prove that you can be the believer. They were asking them to circumcise, going for the kosher diet. And Paul wasn't happy about that at all. This is not a church, my dear friend. This is a club with hems, if that's what I can tell you. Then Paul turns everything on its head with two words. In verse 2:13, he said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus. That's what he's telling you. By the blood of Christ Jesus only we are saved, not because of kosher diet, not because of circumstances, not because of the circumcision, or not because of anything else, the way we do church. But now, he said, but now this is the hinge of the gospel, my dear friend. Not because of how long you attended or whose name was above your building's door, by blood, by grace, by sheer undeserved mercy, you and me are saved. And now under this one foundation. Every person in this church is here by the name, by the same grace, you and me. There is no senior member at the foot of the cross, is it? Or an old member, or a new member, or a wealthy member. Doesn't really matter. Because there is the walls Christ has already demolished. For he is our peace, Bible says in Ephesians 2:14. He said, he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. Now, I believe there is no hostility between Kanwad, Kastes, and Ford, but Paul is writing the same. Most people read this as a metaphor, yeah? It is not. Archaeologists have found actual fragment of the stones. Can you bring that on the screen? The barriers inside the Jerusalem temple, the wall that physically divided the court of Israel from the court of the Gentiles. Okay? They also found the inscription carved into it. Go on to the next slide, which says, so that's the wall. That was a wall between them. It says, no foreigner may pass beyond this barriers. Whoever is caught doing so will have himself to be blamed for his ensuing death. It's not a metaphor Paul is writing. It's not. This is not a guideline. No, it is not. That is a death sentence carved on the stone that no Gentiles can enter into that place which belonged to Israel. Can you see that? And that is the wall Christ divided. The wall declared, you do not belong here. Stay out. And Christ did not argue with it. He did not petition anyone. to take off the wall. He died on the cross. His body was the wall. When it broke it on the cross, the barrier between humanity and God and between human beings and each other were demolished forever. But unfortunately, we decided to erect them again. What religion spent centuries building up, the cross tore down in that afternoon 2,000 years ago for you and for me. Was Israelites were building the wall, keeping the Gentiles out of the building, out of the temple. Christ broke that wall and that on that afternoon. Paul says Christ created in himself one new humanity. Not a merger of two groups or three groups or five groups keeping separate identity. No, something altogether new, something that never existed before the cross. That's what Christ has done. So when we set from three traditions and quietly rebuild the wall, if you're going to do that with preferences, with cliches and whispered companion comparisons about how things used to be, we are not honoring our heritage, my dear friends. We are being unfaithful to the cross because you are going to build that wall. And Bible says you are unfaithful to cross if you do that. You cannot claim the cross and rebuild the wall, can you? I don't think so. You have to choose only one. Either you choose the cross or you choose the walls. You choose you, your tradition, my church, and have the ownership of the church. And if not, let this be a Christ church. Paul's called out what we now are, members of the household of God, household, oikos in Greek. The word for a family, home. You do not earn your place in the family home, do you? You are born into it or adapted into it. At once the Father has brought you in, nobody can put you out. Not your past, not your failures, not even a church merger, not even the church union. You've been saved, you'll always be saved. Because sometime we also need to understand the rebuke, don't we? Now feel the Paul talking and his tone in 1 Corinthians 3. He is not warm here. No, he is not. He is a physician who has looked at the scan and must tell the patient exactly what he sees, that what he is doing in this. And so, brothers and sisters, he's writing in the next verse. He said, so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as fleshly, as infants in Christ, for you are still fleshy. Nor for as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not fleshy and behaving according to human inclinations? Paul calls them babies. Not affectionately. No, there is not. Clinically. Not their theology. Their theology was sound. Their theology was all right. They were all believers, all Christians, new, following Christ. The reason is their division. They were saying, I follow Paul. Another said, I follow Apollos, turning faithful gospel ministers into tribal mascots. As if you're wearing a jersey of and then Celtic, and if one lose and another win, you come on the street and start fighting because Celtic lost or win. They were treating the Apollos and Paulus like that, dressing up group loyalty in the language of spiritual conviction. That's what they were doing. Spiritual language used to justify division is still division, my dear friends. God is not impressed by that vocabulary. No, he's not. So stop calling this your church. I belong to Kanwath. Location? Fine. I belong to Castez. Village? Okay. I belong to Forth. But if you call your church still that way, that language is not acceptable in the vocabulary of God. He said, now you are one body, one household, one family. What is then Apollos? What is then Paul? Nothing. Servants through whom you believed. What is Castes? What is Kanwath? What is Forth? Nothing but the means for you to worship. The church brought you under one household. Good. But the building is nothing unless it's laid the foundation of Christ Jesus. Servant, that is all. Paulus and Apollos were servant. I am servant. Your elders are servant to you and nothing else. They don't hold special position in your church. They are servants. We are servant to serve you. That's it. What then is our old building? Nothing. Servant. Our old order of service? Nothing. Servants. The tradition we are quietly hoping survives into this church? Nothing. Servants. Servants means not the foundation. And Paul gives us the only foundation that stands in 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. So if you are trying to lay your own foundation, you are wrong. I'm sorry to say that. And you might feel I'm harsh. No, I'm not. I'm just reciting what Paul is trying to tell you today. A church that worships its own past cannot reach its future. It cannot. A congregation that clings to tradition tighter than they cling to Christ has already lost that thing it was trying to protect. Servants. So what are we choosing to build, my dear friends? What are we? Paul ends Ephesians 2 with a picture, and I want that burning in your minds, my dear friend. The community of broken, different, former strangers is being built into our dwelling place. Our holy temple where the Spirit of God actually lives. Notice, it is still growing, he said. What are you part of today is not the finishing building. No, it is not. It is a building site. There will be dust. There will be disruption and moments where you cannot yet see what it's going to be, what it will become, because we are under construction. That is what a loving and living church is. The hymn we sang is not a nice song. It is not. It is a covenant that all are welcome. It is us standing before God and one another saying, we choose to build a grace, not comfort. One Christ, not our history. On the cross, not the way things used to be. That's what we are trying to build. So here is a challenge I would like to present for you, okay? This week, and maybe coming weeks, introduce yourself by name to someone from other congregation. Sit down with them and ask what they love about their old church. What they love about Kanwat, Castes, Forth. And honor their story. There's nothing wrong in that, is it? But see, when something is done differently from what you are used to, ask before you react. Is this the foundation? Ask this question. Is this the foundation or just the building? There's a difference in a building and the foundation. And if it is the building, laid down at the cross. Okay? Pray for this as a church, as one church. Not your old one, this one. And then, the one still being built. Pray that Christ the cornerstone, the foundation, hold us when our preferences pull us apart. Let us build the house together on the only foundation that holds, and that is Christ Jesus. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple and the Lord, Ephesians 2:21. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Is that what we are up for? Is that where the need we created this union? If yes, then good. If not, on the paper only we will call as union. In your heart, you will be always separated. And you will always say, I belong to Apollos and I belong to Paul. I belong to Castes Church, I belong to Kanwat Church, and I belong to Fort Church, which is not acceptable in the vocabulary of cross. God bless you all. Thank you. Now, I know it's already 10 to 11. Is that right? I don't do this long church. I do only for 1 hour, but please bear with me. Today is the first Sunday. That's the reason we are here for longer than that, and I'm going to blame Margaret for it, okay? She didn't notice too long. Can we all please stand and sing our next hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Course? Thank you. Please be seated. Now the instruction before we join our hearts and ourselves into this table, when the elders will serve you the elements, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, we believe is there on the table for you. Please hold on to it. Once the elder will come back, I will serve them, and then we will all eat it together and drink it together. Dear all, the Lord's Supper is not a bare ritual or a memory exercise. No, it is not. It is something only believers can truly share in a gift, a God reserved for His family. So may I please request you, if you have been baptized, and if you do not follow Jesus Christ and believe Him that He is a Savior, please do not take part in this communion. Because every promise of God finds its yes in Christ Jesus, as per 2 Corinthians 1:20. His death purchased far more than forgiveness for us, my dear friends. It secured peace, joy, healing, hope, freedom from fear, and every blessing God gives. So when we take the bread and the cup, we are not merely remembering Christ's death, we are spiritually receiving the benefit of His death obtained on the cross. This is what Paul means when he calls the cup a participation, a sharing in Christ's blood. So like a child at his father's table, my dear friends, we receive not just food, but the love and provisions the Father has prepared for you, for all of you. Christ is the host of this table, and everything He suffered to give us is offered at this table. This table is not set by these elders. This table is not set by these people. It's set by Christ for you 2,000 years ago. But remember, Paul also warned us not to come casually or with unresolved bitterness. Those who eat and drink without discerning the body bring judgment on themselves, Paul said. The point is not to keep us away from this table, but to help us come rightly with repentance, with forgiveness, and with unity. And remember, you don't need to be worthy to be part of this table, because no one is worthy. Only Christ is. But He made you worthy to take part. This table does not belong to any congregation, my dear friends. It belongs to Christ Jesus, and at His table there are no factions. Only those who are once far off and have been brought near by His blood. On that conscience, take part in this table. Now there'll be a few things on the screen. When it says all, we'll all say it and pray it together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, draw us now to your table with clean heart and grateful faith. By the working of your Holy Spirit, cleanse our thoughts and renew our love, that we may come as your people, welcome, forgiven, and made one in Christ. As we gather at this feast of grace, help us to love you more perfectly and to honor your holy name as we share in the gift of His holy blood. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Can we say this prayer together? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned in thoughts, in words, and deeds. Through our own fault and in common with others, we are truly sorry and turn humbly from our sins. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's take part in a statement of faith when we'll read the responsive Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God who made you and love you? Do you believe in Christ Jesus, your Savior and our Lord?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and the ongoing gift of our salvation?
Forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, by the blood of your dear Son, you have consecrated for us a new and living way into the holiest of all. Assure us of your mercy and sanctify us by heavenly grace, that we, approaching you with pure heart and cleansed conscience, may offer you a sacrifice in righteousness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray again. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night you were betrayed, you took bread and gave thanks in your name. Now, Lord, we set apart this bread and this cup from all common uses to this holy mystery. As we come, let your Spirit make this meal to us a true sharing in your body and a real sharing in Christ and all the blessing his death has made ours. Grant that by faith we may receive all that your cross has purchased, peace, forgiveness, hope, and new life. Keep us from coming lightly. Search our hearts and unite us as one body and draw us to your table as those brought near by your blood. Consecrate these elements, Lord, and consecrate us as we receive them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please pray this together. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. According to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as a memorial of him, we do this. Who on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of salvation, saying, "This is the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in the memory of me." Now may I please request elders to share the bread, and I will share the bread, and then I will say something, and then we'll eat it together. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembering Jesus and eat." This is the cup of the new covenant sealed by Christ Jesus' blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Now, before we join our hearts in this closing prayer, thanksgiving prayer, has everybody been fed? Everybody received it? Thank you. Let's join in this prayer. Please be seated. Precious God, we thank you that in this holy meal, you have drawn us once again into the life you share us. Sorry, is there on the screen? Just 1 second, everybody. Yes, here we go. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that in his holy meal, you have drawn us once again into the life you share as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise you that the bread and the cup are not only a sign of Christ's sacrifice, but an invitation into the communion that has no beginning and no end. Strengthen us by your Spirit to live from this shared life, walking with the Son who leads us, resting in the Father who loves us, and trusting the Spirit who abides within us. Send us out now to carry the light of your communion into the place you call us to serve, until we join with all your people in the fullness of your kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May I please request Carol to come forward and do the prayers. Let's join our hearts in prayer for others.
Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord, for this lovely remembrance of you today. Loving God, we come before you through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence with us today. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be with our families and communities, and ask for your blessing on our young people as they end another school year. Be with those who are feeling lonely or isolated, or who are grieving and need comfort, and those who struggle to make ends meet. We ask for peace of mind for people who struggle with mental health in a world that is difficult to make sense of at times. Lord, draw people to you where they can experience true peace. Let your Holy Spirit move in this land. Bless our union of churches and all the unions taking place. Help us move forward with grace and patience for each other under the banner of Christ in love, so Christ can be seen at work in us. May your Holy Spirit guide us as we go into another week. Guide us to those we can help in some way, and may we live our lives the way you would like us to, in following your example to love God and love our neighbour as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Carol, for the prayer. Can you all please stand and sing a closing hymn, Go Forth and Tell. Men standing while we pray for our offering. Generous God, everything we have come is from your hand, and everything we give we offer back to you in gratitude. You have brought us near by the blood of Christ, made us one household, and as a building us together into a dwelling place of your Spirit. Lord, take these gifts in these plates, in these bags, and so many other ways we shared with you and with your people. And use them to strengthen this church you are forming, to bless our community, and to extend the peace Christ has won for us. Make our giving an act of love, a sign of trust, and a step of obedience to the one who is our cornerstone. We offer these gifts, and we offer ourselves. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's receive the blessing of God. May the God who brought us near by the blood of Christ make you steadfast in his peace. May Christ our cornerstone hold you together as one household. And may the Holy Spirit build you into a living temple for his glory. Go now in the unity of the Father the grace of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This is a new benediction we have, the blessings. Can we all sing it together? And Audrey know the tune already. Now, my apologies, it's been 1.5 hours you are stuck here. People will say that. I am sure that you love to worship God. And in truth and spirit, when you worship, you don't see your clocks. You see the will of God and the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. God bless you all once again, and thank you very much for joining this historical worship we have done today, three churches coming together. I hope we can do this more often when we come under one roof and can do more. Now, I'm sure you know me, and if you're not, I'm not 9-to-5 minister, I'm 24/7 minister. I have only one mobile, no business number, no commercial number. I have only one personal, because you're all my personal family. You can have access to it, get it from Margaret or from anyone else. You can call me anytime. You can visit my mans anytime. You can request me to come to you or to be with you, or if you need my services to be somewhere, I will be there for you, okay? I'm 24/7 minister, and I never think that, you know, if you call me, you are disturbing me, you are bothering me. That's what you get with the brown minister, okay? We are not 9-to-5 minister, we are 24/7. So don't hesitate to visit me, call me if you need me. You're stuck in a Bermuda Triangle? I'll come and get you. Trust me. You can ask me anything, and I will do it for you. Now, my method of ministry is a family. I'm not alien to you. I'm not your minister. I'm your brother. I am your friend, whoever you want to take me and use me. Okay, I'm here as a servant. If you want to access me anytime, please do so. Please don't keep that distance, okay? Please don't. And that's what I like you to do. Castes Kanwat already know that I love food. I love food. Invite me to your house if you want me to come. I will enjoy it. I will cook it for you, and we'll celebrate the life Christ has offered for us. If you have a problem with me, don't tell it to anyone. You know why? Because the problem with me, you want me to fix it, come and tell me, and I will fix it. No one else can fix it for me, can they? So if you have a problem with me, come and tell me, and we'll fix it together. Okay? God bless you all. And I'm very pleased and honored that I am the minister of this one church, Kanwat, Castes, and Fourth Parish Church. God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you.